Hello there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is so good to be back with you once again. Thanks for stopping by. We're going to be here for the next 30 minutes. This week, we are going to talk about the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, when I read through these readings, the message, the theme that jumped out at me was living with wisdom. In other words, seeing what's really important through God's eyes. Because so many times we get distracted, we think something is important, we set our focus on matters or things which in the big picture aren't really that important. But today we're going to look at the importance of seeing things with God's eyes, finding out what it is that we should really be searching for in this life, basically making sure that we make it to heaven and help others to get there as well. So that's going to be the topic for the program. We also will be looking at chapter 3 of my new book, Lord Save Me, When You Feel Weak. So if you're feeling a little weak today, or if you know somebody who is, maybe this will help you, help them as we look at that. So it's going to be a pretty busy show today. Again, I thank you for stopping by. I hope you can settle in. And I'm really grateful that you made time to listen today. So why don't we do this? Why don't we pray? Then I'll say a few more things, and then we'll get right into the Lord Save Me verse. After that, we'll look at the Mass readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So please join me as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being present with us, Father. You know, even though we can't see you, we do know through faith that you are always with us. We know that you love us. We know that you created us out of nothing. And furthermore, you adopted us as your children when we were baptized. So obviously, Father, you really love us. You want to provide for our needs. You want us to be happy in this life, even though we will encounter suffering. You still want us to experience joy and peace. And above all, you want us to get to heaven. We know that. So, Father, today we ask that you enlighten us. Help us to better appreciate the importance of living for heaven and not just for the temporary pleasure that we experience in this life. Father, please help us with all of our needs. Please help us draw closer to you. We lift up our family and friends and all those who are struggling today. We pray for those who have left the church. We pray for those who have never entered the church, those who don't even know that you're their Heavenly Father. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for comfort for those who are grieving. We pray for those who are lonely, that they may become more aware of your presence and that you'll send some people into their lives to show them that they are not alone. We pray for those who are struggling with poverty, those who are looking for work, especially the ones, those individuals who might be unemployed at the moment. We pray for all teachers and all students at the beginning of the new school year. We pray for our church, for our Holy Father Pope Leo, for our bishops, for our priests, for all of our deacons, for all members of religious communities. We pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, to the diaconate, to the religious life. We pray, Father, for those who are struggling with mental illness or any kind of anxiety disorder. We pray for those battling addictions. We pray for world peace, an end to war, an end to terrorism. We pray, Father, that you will give me the words today so that I can deliver the message that you have for all of us. And finally, I ask that you open all of our minds and our hearts so that we would be able to hear your message in today's program and put it into practice in our lives. Father God, as we always do, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. And as well as we were praying, I wanted to say one thing. If you notice, I direct my prayers at the beginning of the show to our Heavenly Father. That's not necessary. You can also talk to Jesus. You can also talk to the Holy Spirit. You know, they're all God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But typically, the public prayers of the church are directed to the Father through Jesus or in Jesus' name. And that's what I do for the most part on this show. And if you notice at the end, I always say, we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Now, that's not magic. That's not a magic formula. Sometimes that can get a little confusing. If you pray in Jesus' name, doesn't mean you'll get what you want, because sometimes what you could be asking for is not what's best for you. What it means is that through Jesus, you and I have access to the Father. Through Jesus, we have been adopted as children of God. So therefore, He's our Father. And our prayers are heard through Jesus. And what that also means is that when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we are praying, Father, don't give me this if it's not what's really best for me. Because Jesus knows what's best for us. So when we pray in His name, there's that implied little clause, if you want to call it, in our prayer request, saying that I don't want this if it's not good for me. So we pray only for what is good for us. And look, we don't know. And that's the whole purpose of today's show. So I guess this is a little good segue, because we often don't know what's best for us. Today's topic is living with wisdom. But still, even though I think I know what's best for me, I don't always. And that's why it's always good to pray in the name of Jesus, with the understanding that if this isn't good for me, and good for me means will help me to get to heaven. You know, when God looks at what's good for us, he views it differently than we do. Typically, when I pray for what's good for me, I think things of earth, you know, even if they're good things. Things that will bring me comfort, things that will help me with my problems. You know, I might be lonely, I'm praying for a friend or something. I mean, these are good things to me, an end to my sickness. But to God, sometimes He thinks differently. And He knows that even though He doesn't will sickness or will evil, sometimes when bad things happen to me, it enables me to grow closer to Him and will ultimately get me to heaven. So therefore, He'll allow certain things to take place in order to help me. So what appears to be bad for me or to me is actually good for me. Because God is not short-sighted like we are. He looks at the big picture. The big picture is we're going to spend a lot more time, because our life is eternal, we're going to spend a lot more time in the next life than we will in this life on earth. So He wants not just what feels good down here. He wants us to be happy forever. And again, not easy. It's not easy to focus on heavenly things, heavenly treasures, because we're human beings and we're distracted. And spiritual matters are difficult sometimes because you can't see them with your eyes. So that's why I always ask, and this is the church's tradition as well, to ask in the name of Jesus. Not that it's a magic formula, but really it's a disposition. It's a feeling it's a desire in the heart that, and also we're given access to the Father through Jesus. But it's more than that. It's that desire to only want what God wants me to have. He wants us to ask. But sometimes He has to say, well, let me either tweak your intentions or I'm going to have to say no, because what you're asking for may harm you in some way. All right. That's just a little bit of an explanation that came to me when I was praying. Okay. Very quickly, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com, if you want to find more about my work. If you want to see all the books that I have, they're all linked on the website, followingthetruth.com. If you want to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, which, by the way, is totally free of charge. Or if you want to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, you can do all that by going to followingthetruth.com. Now, I mentioned, since this new book of mine came out, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, I want to go each week through one of the chapters in the book. There are 10 chapters total. I just do a little brief reading from the book. This week, we're going to look at When You Feel Weak, which is chapter 3. And there are multiple Bible verses and reflections in this chapter. The one I chose was John chapter 6, verse 5. Where can we buy enough food for them to eat? And this has to do with the feeding of the 5,000. There are 5,000 men plus women and children, so approximately maybe talking about 12,000 people, 14,000 even, who are hungry and who don't have anything to eat. Jesus is asking Philip this question because what happens is the people are hungry, they have to eat, and Jesus said to them, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? This follows up on the heels of the question posed to him, can we send these people away, Lord, so they can eat? And then Jesus told them, well, why don't you buy food for them yourselves? And then the question came up, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? When we, and this was Philip asking, I said Jesus, this is actually Philip asking the question. So the point of this is, when we use our human knowledge, we often don't see how God can do the impossible. We look at a situation where, to us, it looks unsolvable, it looks impossible, it looks hopeless. But to Jesus, all things are possible. So he looked at this apparent shortage of food. You know, ultimately, they only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it wasn't a problem to Jesus. But automatically, the apostles, as we do, looked at it and said, look, we don't have enough money to buy food for these people. And then, well, okay, now we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that's still not enough. You know, this constant pushback to Jesus' instruction to, well, you guys give them the food. So the apostles are balking at this, saying, that's not possible. How are we going to do this? And I think when we find ourselves in that situation, when we recognize our weakness, as we do, I don't know about you, but every day I recognize I'm weak in some area or some problem or some situation is beyond my capability to fix. That's when, as people of faith, we should remember to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help with this. Now, yeah, there are some things that maybe we get ourselves into a bind where we can't extricate ourselves from the problem. That happens. But ultimately, what we need to remember is that God can help us, especially if he leads us somewhere that seems impossible. For instance, you get diagnosed with an illness, you know, especially if you did nothing to cause this. Well, God's allowing it to happen because he's got a plan. And if he allowed it to happen, he obviously knows that you can get through it with his help. So just try to remember that if you're in a situation where there just seems to be no way out. And look, sometimes we get ourselves into messes, and God's not going to just clean it all up for us. Sometimes we're going to have to pay the price. There will be repercussions for what we did. And it's important to recognize that. But God can still bring good out of that. So I think that's the main thing I want you to remember, that no matter what you're facing, trust that God can bring good out of it. And please ask him for help, okay? So that was from Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement, When Life Feels Hard, my latest book. You can find out more about that at followingthetruth.com. All righty, let's get to the readings for the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. We'll do what we normally do and begin with the gospel. Then we'll back up and look at the other readings and see why these other readings were chosen to support the gospel message. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33 is going to be the gospel today. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, obviously, this is going to make you upset. It's troubling language, right? Jesus doesn't want us to hate anybody. Everything about Jesus is love. Love one another. He's telling us to love your enemies, right? He's not going to tell you to hate those members of your immediate family or your extended family. He's using exaggeration. Remember, this is a translation. The gospel was originally written in Greek. Jesus is speaking Aramaic. So there's something that could be lost in the translation. What this really means, what the Lord is really saying is here, don't put anyone before me, or don't let any earthly person get in the way of my relationship with you. That doesn't mean you desert your family to serve Jesus. No. What it means is if you have a family member who tries to talk you out of going to Mass on Sunday because there's a ball game going on or they want to go away, you say no, right? That's what he's saying here. Because that would get in the way of your relationship with Jesus. All right, back to this little dissertation. Whoever does not carry his own cross, Jesus said, and come after me cannot be my disciple. So in other words, there's a cost involved in being a disciple of Jesus. You got to give up something. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he's still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, what the Lord is saying, to generalize, to really sum it all up, he's saying, watch out that you don't put too much focus on the things of this world, including people. You got to be careful. Sometimes we get into a relationship with someone who's going to cause us to sin. The relationship might be bad. We got to be careful about that. Sometimes we put all our effort in acquiring possessions and lose sight of what really matters, following Jesus and getting to heaven. That's really where he's going with this. And he's just saying, be careful. If someone or something is going to take you away from me, Jesus says, you gotta break loose of that. You gotta make sure that I come first. And again, that means if you have a family, this depends on your state in life. If you have a family, you have responsibilities. You're loving Jesus through your family by going through your ordinary duties of life. So it doesn't mean you neglect your wife, your children, your husband, in order to spend more time in church. As a father and a husband, my primary responsibility is my family, and there are times when I can't do church things. Sometimes I even have to turn down talks that I'm giving. Sometimes I have to break free from my writing to take care of my family. That's what Jesus wants. What he doesn't want is me to ignore him and somehow fall into sin, or somehow fall into sin, I should say, by putting too much emphasis on things or people, right? Let's look at the first reading, and we'll see how these all tie in together. The first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 9, beginning in verse 13. Who can know God's counsel, or who can conceive what the Lord intends? For the deliberations of mortals are timid, and unsure are our plans. For the corruptible body burdens the soul, and the earthen shelter weighs down the mind and has many concerns. And scarce do we guess the things on earth and what is within our grasp, we find with difficulty. But when things are in heaven, who can search them out? Or whoever knew your counsel, except you had given wisdom and sent your Holy Spirit from on high? And thus were the paths of those on earth made straight. Now, in this first reading, again, this is Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was actually sent to his church, to the Lord's church on Pentecost, we see this reference to the Holy Spirit. So because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we have the capability to see with God's eyes. In other words, to see what's truly important, so that we can make that judgment. Hey, this person is really pulling me away from the Lord, or I'm so focused on watching sports on TV or acquiring possessions or making money that my spiritual journey with the Lord is being harmed because of it. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to better discern what is really important in life. Doesn't mean we always get it right, but it does mean that we have the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to make the right decision, to view things as they really should be viewed. You know, the things of this earth are given to us to help us get to the Lord. And once they have the effect of keeping us away from Him, that's not a good thing. And that's where we're called to sometimes give up things, to sometimes become detached from the things that are holding us back from God. Psalm 90, in every age, O Lord, you have been our refuge. This is the responsorial psalm. You turn man back to dust, saying, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are as yesterday, now that it is past, or as a watch of the night. You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, but by evening wilts and fades. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. So you see that the message of this psalm is that we need to see things with God's eyes. We need to see the things around us through God's eyes and understand that some of these things we're spending a lot of our time focusing on, including the duration of our life on earth, they can get us in trouble. You know, if I don't recognize the fact that I'm mortal and I'm going to die one day, and that day could be today. I mean, I'm not saying to be morbid about it and to dwell on it negatively, but to be aware that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So don't waste today. That's the message. And this great prayer contained in this psalm, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Lord, help me to understand that my life is temporary, because, you know, everything around us and the message we get constantly from the world is that we're going to be here forever. Enjoy yourself. Live it up. But God's message is, don't be so sure. You're not in control. You know, that's hard. It's hard for me. I'm a control freak. So it's hard for me to recognize that I'm not in control, but I'm not. And I shouldn't live as if I am in control. All right, the final part of this psalm, fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days. And may the gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands. Lord, take the work that we do, multiply it, make it be used for good. May I do all my work for you, Lord. You know, that's the whole theme of this psalm. And, you know, having that sense of urgency and recognizing that you're not going to be here forever, that can help us. It can be a good motivating factor for us in doing a good job with the gifts that the Lord has given us. He put us here to do something for the kingdom. Are we doing that? And I think that's an ongoing question that we have to ask ourselves. What else can I do, Lord? What do you want me to do today? How can I help you and help those around me today? And we depend on the Holy Spirit to give us some inspiration to do that, to do God's will in the various circumstances which we will find ourselves in each day. Second reading is from the letter to Philemon. This is a really short reading written by St. Paul. It's Philemon verses 9 and 10, verses 12 and 17. It's only one chapter. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, urge you to, on behalf of my child Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment, I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I should have liked to retain him for myself so that he might serve me on your behalf in my imprisonment for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that the good you do might not be forced but voluntary. Perhaps this is why he was away from you for a while, that you may have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a brother, beloved especially to me, but even more so to you as a man and in the Lord. So if you regard me as a partner, welcome him as you would me. This is Paul writing to a man named Philemon on behalf of a slave. Philemon had a slave named Onesimus who ran away. You know, remember, this is different times that these readings are written in. And he helped the slave, the runaway slave, helped Paul. He assisted him. And Paul's imprisoned right now. And Paul is encouraging Onesimus to go back to his former master, but he writes this letter to Philemon saying, look, treat him as a brother and not as a slave. So essentially what Paul is asking him to do is see things through God's eyes. Don't look at things through your earthly eyes. And he's asking him to treat this runaway slave charitably and not to hold it against him. So, you know, it really ties in nicely with all of the other readings today, that idea of trying to see the world through the eyes of God. And if we do that, we're going to be able to live with wisdom and be able to determine what's truly important. Will we get it wrong sometimes? Absolutely. But we're encouraged to keep trying. That's what the church wants us to do, to keep trying our best, to depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that's why when I always do the prayer at the beginning of the show, I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide my words, to make sure I get it as close to what God wants as I can. And then I ask for the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts, including mine, so that through these readings, we can hear the Lord speak to us and decide, okay, how does this apply to me? Living with wisdom. It's only possible through the help of the Holy Spirit. But it is possible. So don't stop trying. Don't stop asking for help. And don't become discouraged. Yes, as I said, we will get it wrong sometimes. But the Lord doesn't ask us to be perfect. He asks us to try and to lean on him for help. Okay? Well, believe it or not, we are about at the end of the program. It always goes so fast that I'm amazed when I see the clock on the wall telling me it's time to go. I thank you for spending time with me. Hey, you know, if I could ask you a favor, this is during these summer months, donations really fall off, speaking opportunities dry up. So if you're able to help me financially to keep my full-time ministry going, I would really appreciate that. You can contribute securely by going to followingthetruth.com. I would appreciate, I mean, I always hate to ask for money, but it really would help me. Remember, I'm always praying for you, and I would ask you to please pray for me if you could. God willing, we'll do this again next week. I thank you for stopping by, and remember, ask the Lord for help to see things through his eyes. God bless you. Talk to you next time.